The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Barbara Yakubu.
In the headlines, 2,000 police personnel to monitor MPP presidential primaries, global community mass international rural women and hand washing days. WHO warns of 10,000 new cases of Ebola every week within 2 months if efforts are not stepped up. And in football, senior national team the Black Stars poised for victory in AFCON 2015 Nations Cup against Sili National of Guinea in Tamale today. As the MPP prepares to elect a flag bearer for the 2016 general elections, the Ghana Police Service is deploying 2,000 policemen to the 275 polling stations designated for the presidential primaries on Saturday. The policemen will be deployed to at least groups of 5 for each polling center on the election day. This will include patrol and standby and 1,375 policemen for the polling stations and others at the MPP headquarters, regional centers and the declaration center. Deputy Commissioner of Police in charge of public affairs of the Ghana Police Service, David Ampabinin, who disclosed this, said regional police commanders will be in command of operations within their jurisdiction, while tactical operations on the ground at the polling stations will be overseen by officers in charge not below the rank of superintendent. DCOP Ampabinin said the police would be employing a tactical operation that would involve a three-tier deployment strategy. 141,432 delegates are expected to cast their ballots for their preferred candidates from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The delegates include 10 national executive members, 40 members of the Council of Elders, 27 past national officers, 45 members from external branches, and 432 regional executives, among other delegates.
The president of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, Abdul Rahman Mohamed, has appealed to government to allow farmer-based organizations to be in charge of the distribution of subsidized fertilizers to small-scale farmers. This will help stop the diversion of fertilizers by unauthorized people who take advantage of the current channel of distribution to inflate the prices of the product to the disadvantage of the farmer. Mr. Mohamed was speaking at the 2014 Year of Agriculture and Food Security in Accra. He called on government to invest in agricultural mechanization to help farmers increase their yield. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
The 2014 Year of Agriculture and Food Security was celebrated with a stakeholder meeting to take stock of the activities of peasant farmers and the development of small-scale agriculture. The meeting also considered the comprehensive African Agriculture Development Program and the way forward in the next decade. The president of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, Abdul Rahman Mohamed, raised some critical challenges facing small-scale farmers, including lack of market and fertilizer, as well as absence of storage facilities. Mr. Mohamed said lack of market for farm produce is a major problem because farmers are not able to sell their produce. This makes it difficult for these farmers to pay back their loans. Mr. Mohamed appealed to government to expand the capacity of the buffer stock to be able to take more produce during the glut season.
The fertilizer policy that is put in place actually does not help the poor farmer. Farmers need to be induced before they get the support. Not the support before coming into goods. If the support is there and you tell people to go, farmers should be in their goods and come and take their support. I think those who are coming there are not the farmers, because they are coming because of what you are asking them to come for. But if you are dealing with the farmers and the grass, I think that you are dealing with the right people. And that one will be able to solve the problem.
The Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Fifi Kwete, said government is investing in agricultural technology and infrastructure, as well as strengthening the relevant institutions to improve support services to small-scale farmers.
That was a report filed by Antoinette Abba. Empowering the rural women is key to the overall economic productivity of the country. The program officer at WildGov Ghana, Lois Eduamwa Ado, speaking to commemorate International Women's Day today, acknowledges the critical role the rural woman plays in enhancing agriculture and improving food security, which are a prelude to eradicating poverty. We are joined on the line by Madame Eduamwa Ado to throw more light on the day. Good morning to you, Madame.
Good morning.
So happy International Rural Women's Day.
Thank you.
So why the celebration of this day when we have International Women's Day?
Yes. The reason why we celebrate a day have been slated for the celebration of the International Rural Women's Day is because we realize that emphasis is placed on the urban woman during the celebration of International Women's Day. That we often forget about the enormous contribution of rural women. So the international organizations at a UN conference in Beijing in 1995 thought of this and came up with October 15th as a day to recognize the critical role rural women play in national development. That's why this day is being celebrated, for everybody to always remember what the rural women does in our national development.
Who is a rural woman, and is it not derogatory to say someone is rural?
A rural woman is a woman who is either semi-literate or literate, illiterate, found in a remote community, denied basic amenities in life, and often found within the agricultural sector.
So what would you say some of the contributions of rural women are to national development?
Rural women often contribute about 80% to the labor force within the agricultural sector. The agricultural sector provides 45% of labor force to the employment sector. So they contribute so much towards employment in Ghana. They also contribute, their contribution in agriculture contributes 32% to GDP and then also 12% to tax revenue. So they play very enormous role in our national development. They also provide 80% of food consumption in our country.
Obviously, rural women have faced challenges. What are some of them?
One of the key challenges they don't have the right to access land. They also have challenges in accessing extension services. They have challenges in accessing credit facilities. And then other issues such as access to health rights, education, and other things that is deserving them by a legal framework, but they are denied. Not because the system doesn't make them have it, but because they don't have the knowledge that these things are out there for them to claim.
And how do we ensure that the rural women participate fully in the
national development?
Yeah.
One of the key things that we can do is to empower them on their rights. Because when you don't know your rights, how do you rise up to claim it or even participate in decision making? So one of the key things that was the way forward for rural women is to empower them on their rights and also educate them on the legal framework within the agricultural sector and other related areas which they will come to benefit. The next thing is also they should be at the center of our programs and legal decision making in the country. They are often forgotten. Agricultural programs do not often give them due recognition. So I think that one of the key things is when they are empowered and they are also at the center of discussion of our national policies and programs, they will be able to rise up to claim all these things for themselves.
Madam Eduamo Adu, is there any planned activity in Ghana, and will you introduce the rural women?
Yeah, the farmers organization is
involved. I mean, will you involve the rural woman?
Hello?
I'm asking, is there any planned activity in Ghana, and will you involve the rural woman?
Yeah, there is a major community, Derba, at Isubo in the eastern region, for bringing them together to remind them of their enormous contribution to national development. And then there's another one also ongoing that will also take place in Techiman. And there are various media engagements and various visits to their communities to share with media persons what they do. So these are the ongoing activities to promote their cause for this day.
We thank you so much, Madam Eduamo Adu, for throwing more light on the International Rural Women's Day, which is today. We've been talking to the program officer at WILDAF, Ghana, Lois Eduamo Adu.
Moving on, Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Kweku Ricketts-Hagen, has asked consumers to be safety conscious to avoid exposure to long-term diseases. He bemoaned the current consumption trend, which is influenced by Western lifestyles. Mr. Hagen urged Ghanaians to concentrate on improving the quality of locally manufactured products to stand the test of global competition. Speaking at the 45th World Standards Day, Mr. Hagen emphasized the need for manufacturers to add value to their products. Naomi Kome and Aurelia Akande have this report.
The World Standards Day is celebrated yearly to raise awareness among regulators, industry and consumers to the importance of standardization to the global economy. Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Kweku Ricketts-Hagan, said every country is conscious of the safety of its people and will therefore not encourage the importation of substandard products. In this regard, the ministry will liaise with the Standards Authority to educate consumers on the importance of quality products and why attention should be paid on what is consumed, as substandard products endanger lives.
As a nation, if we want to enjoy quality of life, then the products we use must be seen to safeguard our health, safety, and the environment. As a consumer, your lifestyle and consumption path is greatly influenced by what is produced in one part of the world. We, however, should not be afraid of what we consume, provided the product concern conform to standards. It is in this light that the products leaving Ghana to other countries or coming into Ghana from other parts of the world must rigidly conform to standards.
The Executive Director of GSA, Dr. George Ben Crenshaw, said the authority is working hard to guide importers to bring in products of accepted quality. He said they are also working to prohibit the importation of products into the country which have not been certified to meet standards. Dr. Crenshaw stated that the authority is introducing measures to verify compliance of products with applicable standard and technical regulations. The Chief Executive Officer of Consumer Protection Agency, Kofi Kapito, explained how consumers can be empowered to help in detecting substandard products.
We've passed the weight and measures laws. We should enforce it. On a day like this, I wish the information would go out more often, not just once a year, but probably on a regular basis, where consumers should be aware that there's an organization called Standard Authority. Their core business is to make sure that standards are met, whether by the ISO, which is the International Standard Order, or even our own unique Ghanaian standard. So businesses whose idea is not to conform to standard, I think the time has come that we should all think like Ghanaians. That's the reason why a lot of Ghanaian businesses cannot do international business. Because if your standard falls short of the minimum international standard, then you cannot even export.
Mr. Kapito was emphatic that the bedrock for the development of every nation is the application of standards.
Naomi Kome reporting.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. 2,000 police personnel to monitor NPP presidential primaries. Global community marks International Rural Women and Handwashing Days. WHO warns of 10,000 new cases of Ebola every week within 2 months if efforts are not stepped up. And in football, senior national team the Black Stars poised for victory in AFCON 2015 Nations Cup against Sili National of Guinea in Tamale today.
Welcome back. The General Secretary of the Progressive People's Party, Kofi Asamoah-Gyan, has called on the chairperson of the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice, RAJ, Mrs. Loretta Lamptey, to voluntarily tender in her resignation to save the integrity of the Commission. Speaking to Radio Ghana at an interaction with some senior journalists in Accra, Mr. Asamoah-Gyan commended steps taken so far to start impeachment processes against the RAJ boss.
If you look at what the SRAJ boss did, in terms of accountability and in public interest, it's in the very bad taste. And she occupies a very sensitive position, such as an administrative justice commissioner. So normally these things will happen somewhere and the petition is made to her office to investigate. So it's a bit difficult to see her office engage in that kind of act. The money that was spent on the accommodation and so on could have bought a new house that would be more valuable than we have gotten from this investment. So it's sad that it brings up again other issues of misuse of public funds by people who have been actually entrusted and given all the largesse of state. As for the processes that have been activated, I will wish that the lady herself will also leave a legacy by resigning. In this country, people don't like resignations, even if it was not her fault. She can say that I've been embarrassed by my subordinates, and for the sake of the institution that I represent, I will not allow myself to be used to bastardize that institution by all manner of people. I'm reserving the integrity of the institution. Let me walk away, do something else with my life, and make other contributions to state, so that we don't reduce Raj to another failed state institution. The Chief Justice processes go on. There are constitutional steps, but I'm hoping that it doesn't become another tool to whitewash wrongdoing.
Touching on moves to revamp the Ghanaian economy, Mr. Samuasian called on government to take steps to reduce the country's imports whilst increasing exports to help strengthen the city.
We need more foreign currencies to be able to bring in the things we need, and that is why we have CD depreciation and we have that challenge. So that problem is obvious. Now, there are two angles to the balance of payment problems. There is the capital account, which is the inflow of foreign direct investment, and there is a current account, which is the equation between import and export. This country, we are worse on both accounts. So what can we do? The simplest thing we can do, and the easier one, is to reduce import. And there are many things that we can substitute in this country. Let's take chicken, for example. Why should we, as a country, spend millions and millions of cedis to import chicken into this country?
General Secretary of the Progressive People's Party, Kofi Asamoah-Gyan, speaking at an interaction with senior journalist in Accra.
A civil society organization, Citizens Movement Against Corruption, has expressed disgust at the financial malfeasance of the National Service Secretariat and reminded government of its role in dealing with the purported culprits. The movement demands that government, as well as designated state institutions responsible to fight corruption, act expeditiously to bring the perpetrators to face the full rigors of the law. Speaking at a media soiree in Accra, co-chair of the movement, Edem Sinanu, said the level of corruption in the country is reprehensible.
The level and the depth of corruption across the country is frightening. It's very, very frightening. And a lot of Ghanaians we speak to are getting frustrated and despondent. They think that nobody is doing anything. We have seen how such circumstances can lead to chaos, where citizens think that government and those who are in positions of responsibility are not doing enough to ensure that the little that they are taxed of is being used properly.
That was the co-chair of civil society group Citizens Movement Against Corruption. The executive director of Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim, urged Ghanaians to come out boldly to condemn the corrupt practices making waves in the country.
First, as citizens, we must resist corruption. We must condemn corruption, no matter who is involved. Secondly, we must put pressure on governments that with entrusted resources and power to ensure that they act on credible allegations of corruption. And when I say act on, they should investigate, and if the people are found to have fallen foul of the law, the necessary action should be taken. In other words, the main aim is to make corruption very, very unattractive. And there are three ways of making corruption very unattractive, as prescribed by the National Anti-Corruption Action Plan. First, prevention. Put in place measures that will prevent corruption. Don't provide opportunity for people to engage in corruption. So, for example, if in your organization you don't have an internal audit, you need an internal auditor. That is one of the things to avoid corruption, prevention. The second thing is education. Educate the public about the negative effects of corruption.
That was the executive director of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim.
Today is Global Hand Washing Day. The event is marked every October 15 to emphasize the need for people to wash their hands with soap in such critical times, especially after using the toilet or before handling food, to prevent the spread of diseases. Globally, the theme for the year is Choose Hand Washing, Choose Health, and the national commemoration is taking place at Bukom Square in Accra. Activities to mark the day include interpersonal contact with a section of the public to deepen the importance of hand washing with soap, with the aim to increase awareness towards a sustainable behavioral change. There will also be mass hand washing. The chief executive of the Community Water and Sanitation Agency, Clement Bogasi, tells Tekicha why this year's observance of the day is crucial.
The importance of the Global Hand Washing Day since its inception is to create awareness in the whole world about the importance of washing one's hands properly, especially at the critical times, to reduce infections, waterborne disease transmission, and any other infection that can be carried through the hands from one person to the other. And it is important because it is the easiest thing we can do as individuals to contribute towards breaking the vector of transmission of many diseases that afflict mankind these days. And we cannot discuss this matter currently without mentioning the cholera that is affecting us now. We all know that cholera is with us. Is causing a lot of havoc, and yet we could reduce it if we practice proper hygiene, proper sanitation, including good hand washing. Hand washing with soap and running water, especially at the critical times. And the critical times are when you have finished going to the washroom, you wash your hands, because any accidental contact of your hands with your own feces, if you happen to be suffering from any disease that is transmitted through that, you'll be carrying it to many, many people without knowing. Another critical time is when you are about to prepare meals, when you are about to feed your baby, when you are about to go and fetch water for the use of the household, or even when you are about to serve food. Very critical times that we need to wash our hands. And every day the hands are touching many things, gadgets, instruments, handles, door handles, rails, even our steering wheels, removing and fixing tires which are passed somewhere you don't know. So we need to always wash our hands. That's the importance we attach to the Global Hand Washing Day.
You heard the chief executive of the Community Water and Sanitation Agency, Clement Bogasi, in that interview with Tekiche on Global Hand Washing Day today. Welcome back. The WHO says the death toll from the Ebola outbreak has risen to 4,447. The Assistant Director General of the organization, Bruce Elwalt, said there could be up to 10,000 new cases a week within 2 months if efforts are not stepped up. He added that the rates of new infections have slowed down. There have been 8,900 cases. Experts say this number is expected to get to 9,000 by the end of the week.
I beg your pardon, football. Senior national team, the Black Stars, are poised for victory in today's return match of the 2015 Nations Cup qualifiers against the Sili Nationale of Guinea. As preparations for the historic match in Tamale indicate a captivating duel, the Sili Nationale held the Black Stars to a 1-1 draw in the first leg in Casablanca, Morocco last Saturday. The Guineans adopted Morocco as their home grounds following the outbreak of the deadly Ebola disease in their country. Ghana is on top of Group E with 5 points, followed by Guinea and Uganda with 4 points each. Today's Hawks occupy the bottom. Togo's Hawks occupy the bottom rank with 3 points. Kickoff time for the match would be at 4 p.m.
And now to win the news domain points again. 2,000 police personnel will be deployed to monitor the MPP presidential primaries on Saturday. And the WHO has warned of 10,000 new cases of Ebola every week within 2 months if efforts are not stepped up. The news was presented by Lily Defoe.